Chipper, like all our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So I was off yesterday. Chip normally joins us on Monday. So Dave and I talking last night. And I say, let's have Chip on. You know, we haven't talked to Chip in a while. Things are busy. Well, I guess this turned out to be the right decision because the Vikings world has turned upside down. It goes from J.J. McCarthy with some moments that look pretty good. Where people are saying, hey, that's why you finally get a rookie quarterback. The pay is low. You can be patient with them. Maybe JJ's so good, the patience goes out the window. And then Monday, well, just some knee soreness. And you're thinking, well, you know, he's playing his first game in a while, knee soreness. And then you find out there's an 11:30 Zoom call with Kevin O'Connell. And JJ McCarthy now has a torn meniscus, right knee, and we'll have surgery, assuming the next couple days. They're being quiet on that, but they're not going to wait too long. And the key thing here, Chip, is you know with these meniscus injuries, if it's a minor, they call it trimming, and he can be back in a few weeks. The issue with that is some of those procedures, and we've dealt with this recently with the Wolves, with Carl Towns, and even a few years before with Jimmy Butler, that sometimes those can pop up, not just later in their adult life, but later in their career, and be an issue. But if it's more of a significant tear, then it's a full repair, and then he's out months and months and maybe the season. So I started the show, man, saying if you're a Minnesota sports fan, maybe just say uncle. I mean, you know it's inevitable, and you finally get the kid quarterback who's doing everything, and this happens. What's just your overall reaction to this?
You're throwing in the towel, that's it?
Yeah, it's all for all sports. Just watch now. Don't care about the results because you know something bad is about to happen.
Yeah, you know, there's never good timing for something like this, but I think the fact that it came on the heels of, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cold here. It came on the heels of what he did Saturday and the impression that he left, you know, for the first view for most fans of J.J., was positive. Obviously, he had the one interception that was tough, but the way he came back and responded and the two touchdown passes, and I think overall, most fans looked at that and said, all right, I can see where this is going. This creates some excitement here. And then to get the news, and when, you know, I've covered this league and long enough, when someone shows up with a sore knee and then they don't practice that night, it's not going to be minor, I don't think. And you can look at it a couple ways, and I've seen it on Twitter already where people say, well, you know, he wasn't going to start anyway the season. And I understand that, but he's losing some major developmental time in terms of the reps that he's getting, all the practice. And I can tell you, if you watch him in spring, you know, the OTAs and minicamp compared to what he's looked like here, I would say the last 2 weeks of training camp, you can see a big improvement in his just overall feel for the offense, the way he's throwing the ball, the command, all that. You can just see how he's making progress. And so there's excitement by that. And so now you have to hit pause on that. And hopefully it is just a minor trim where he can get back out there in a couple weeks. But, you know, this, you know, for career-wise, it's not, you know, doomsday, but it does set back his developmental clock. And so now all eyes go to Sam Darnold, and you need him to be good.
Great point by you, an enormous point. Right? Because I've received a ton of those texts also. Calm down. Darnold was going to play. If McCarthy was going to play, it was going to be later in the year. And most likely that's correct. Now, as we discussed last week, sometimes a rookie is so good that he surprises us. But you nailed it. What McCarthy loses, whether it's the trim and it's 5-6 weeks or it's months, is the day-to-day actually doing it yourself. Because can he watch from the sidelines? Can he be in all the meetings? Can he watch all the tape? Sure. Yes, he can. But it is different when it's your body and that speed and seeing it. And everybody, Chip, you covered this league so long, talked about the speed. We need to see the speed. And the speed in an August game against the Raiders is very different than a November game against somebody else. So I don't think anybody should say, I was just having fun with it, that it's done, they need to draft another quarterback. But But when you want to be patient, you want to control when you decide to be patient, not the other. He's now a patient. You know, it's a different way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to bring this along at their own timetable and his development and not rush it. Well, now you have to hit pause. And, yes, he can get the mental reps and he can be in the facility, but so much of his time and energy now is just going to be on rehab and get the knee back instead of on the field going through those reps. I mean, it's all part of the whole thing. It's like when he's getting those team reps in practice and training camp, those are valuable. That's more valuable than watching Sam Darnold do it. Mm-hmm. Just as Saturday was more valuable than what he's getting on the practice field because people are trying to sack him and tackle him, and the speed is different. And so this is just something that is, you know, he's going to be a little bit the timeline that they had for him has been altered. I mean, it just has, and we don't know the degree to which it's been altered yet. That'll get determined in surgery when they, you know, see if they need to do the little procedure or the big one. But even if it's the little one, his timeline has been altered. And so that's an impact. And so I don't know, you know, there was some, whether it was realistic or not, Chad, some people had kind of earmarked that coming after the London trip, mm-hmm. we had the bye week, and maybe that'll be a natural time to slide him in there if Sam Darnold's not playing well. I think you forget that, you know, because you're just going to lose so much time. And, you know, I thought Darnold looked good for the one drive that he had, and he's looked better, I think, the last 10 days, 2 weeks in training camp. I think his chemistry with Jefferson has really started developing. So, you know, in the perfect world, we said it from the beginning without this, that their goal is, or their hope is that Sam Darnold plays so well that they don't have to play J.J. That's not even a conversation. Well, that really becomes a situation now, and you don't want to, you know, hopefully anything happened to him, because now you're going to go through what they went through last year with really testing your depth at wide receiver. But this is disappointing. I mean, there's no way you could spin it, even if it's a short timeline for him. He just has to trim in the surgery. I mean, it's a disappointing day for them, because what we've seen from JJ and how much progress he was making and kind of all the enthusiasm that people had for what was taking place.
So, in other words, you're bearing what really happened, because I think you, Chip Scoggins, know this conspiracy theory that the Vikings did not want to hear from their fans about starting J.J. McCarthy, so they've made up this whole surgery. His knee is fine, and Dave, I'm kind of disappointed that Chip's going along with this, aren't you? Because
you know what we pay him for?
No, not that on Twitter today.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's out there.
Seriously?
Oh yeah, it's out there. There is a conspiracy theory for when you go to bed, what you have for breakfast. Yes, people are suggesting that this is a mastermind theory, which, again, is utterly bleeping ridiculous.
That's why you should stay off that form, of social media.
Or just laugh at it, you know.
Or be
frightened by it because of the number of people who believe it.
That's what the conspiracy theory, the people behind it want you to think, Chad.
Yeah, I'm a sucker. Mm-hmm. I'm believing what the organization is telling me. I'm not forward-thinking enough to understand this is some master plan.
Long game.
Yeah, it's a long game. Let's put Mr. Scoggins on hold. Come back. We'll talk about the Minnesota Twins and what is going on with them. Chip is great as always. It's 16 past 2. Our guy Chip Scoggins with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chipper is with us. It's 21 past 2. Chad Hartman here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. All right, I guess if injuries are a part of the theme, Chip, let's go to Byron. Byron has been playing great baseball. No doubt about it. Check out those numbers, whether it's over a couple months or even the last month. The last night, something happens with a hip, walks right from the batter's box, walks right down the steps with the helmet, with the bat, and here we go again. Now, here we go again could be Rocco talks to the media in 2 hours, and he's in the lineup Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard to fault anybody for wondering. So how should the fans balance this out? Where, yes, you can offer up the joke, and both of us are capable of doing it, probably me more than you. But at the same time, guys even when they've had an injury history, can get little nagging things. So I'm not going to fault somebody for offering up a quip, but I think to me the Buxton story almost has been lost the last couple months. How good he has been with almost all of us just waiting, just wait, just wait, just wait. And then last night happens and you're like, see, the last 2 months or last month in particular doesn't matter at all.
Well, I think it's, I don't think it doesn't matter, but we've been down this road so many times that we've seen him have hot starts. We've seen him have hot stretches that extend, you know, weeks, but we've also seen him leave the lineup for extended period of time. And you're right. I was watching a game on TV, which, you know, I'm loving being able to watch the games on TV again. And I saw him do exactly what you did, strike out and just keep walking right to the clubhouse. And I texted Bobby Nightingale, our writer, at the time. I said, because I don't know if they could see it from the press box, I said, hey, Buxton went straight through the tunnel without stopping. And, you know, then he didn't come out. And he was like, well, what is it now? You know, what's, and then they announced it was his hip. So, again, it could be, you know, something that he wakes up today and it feels better, or is, you know, could be something with him. You just don't know. And so, but he has been playing well. He's been playing really well.
Really well.
Part of that lineup that, you know, when they're healthy and Lewis is there, and, you know, we'll see where Correa is. We've had a couple. I was out there Friday for the doubleheader, which was just such a surreal day, Chad. I mean, it was like we walked into the clubhouse and all of a sudden, Joe Ryan's shoulder is a lot worse than they thought. Brooks Lee was going on the list. Correa said he's still not able to run. Brock Stewart went over his locker. He said he's having surgery. And you're thinking, what in the world is going on? It was just like one thing after another. And then they go out and, you know, they win two games that night against Cleveland. But, you know, I mean, Rocco in his office that day, I think he's become so, I don't know if numb is the right word, but he said, hey, we're used to this. Like the last couple of years, like, and not just Buxton, but just all the injuries. He said, we're kind of, this is old hat for us, just having to be able to juggle and adapt for guys coming in and out of the lineup. And I guess other teams go through this, Chad, but it just feels like it's an inordinate amount of these situations that the Twins have gone through the last couple of years. So,
well, let's talk about Carlos a little bit, because
when
it happened, he was playing great, right? He was healthy.
Yeah.
You know, he's just stupendous in the field. You know, for a man of his size, what he's able to do is, you know, if you're a ball guy, it's thrilling to watch. And at the plate, he was so much better. And they were very clear. This is not like last year. I don't know if they use the word minor, but the impression was, okay, maybe a couple weeks. We're a long ways past a couple weeks, and there are no signs that, like, tomorrow he's going to be in the lineup.
No, it was July 12th, and this is, what, the 13th?
He's
going on a month. And, I think, now he said the way the team is playing allows him to, he does not want to have to go through what he went through last year, where he basically played on, not one foot, but through a ton of pain, right? He wasn't right. You know, it was painful in the play. I think he's hoping to avoid that. And so, I think what he's saying is the way the team is playing is buying him some more time to try to get this right, because he's not going to be 100%. It's going to be something he deals with this year when he comes back to whatever, you know, degree. But I think he's just wanting to avoid having to go through what he did last year. But here's the thing, Chad. We were talking about this with some writers. Have you ever heard of an athlete getting plantar fasciitis in both feet?
No.
This is a different foot than last year. I'm sure there has, and Derek Falvey said he thinks there is cases. I mean, we couldn't recall any off the top of our head, but I haven't heard it, and so it's something that's going to need to be addressed in the offseason. Chad, they're doing so much as like looking at what kind of cleats he's wearing to see what kind of support and all that stuff. So they're trying to figure out everything, but I think that's going to be an offseason thing that they're going to have to figure out, because this is now both feet 2 years consecutively where he's had to deal with this injury.
So the standings right now, they're 66-52. And when you include the start, the 7-13 start, they're 20 games over 500 since the start. That's great baseball. And when you win the first two games against Cleveland, you're thinking, you know, you're game and a half back. What if you split, you stay a game and a half back? Well, they lost both, but then they beat Kansas City and a very good Kansas City team. It's so interesting because they're four games behind the best record in all of baseball. But then Kansas City is right there in the mix. And because of all those injuries, I think the chances are still strong. They make the playoffs because if you've played this well for this long, but man, I mean, Stewart was going to be an asset that bullpen. Lewis, he's in the Buxton category right now, you know, and Joe Ryan, they're tossing out a different starter that you really don't know or don't trust every other game. So it's just an odd position they're in right now where you want to praise them, and they deserve it for 20 games over 500 for 3 months. But you also look ahead, and they still have quality opponents come up, including the Royals, and you say, did they really have enough pitching to stay where they're at right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing up a guy named Zebby Matthews who started the year in Class A ball.
Yeah, think about that.
Tonight. And that was part of the conversation Friday is like, all of a sudden, without Joe Ryan, you have three young pitchers in the rotation that you're going to be relying on, right? I mean, Louis Varland got a start, and Simeon Woods Richardson, who's been good, and now a guy named Zebby. And, and you know, Rocco had the quote where he said, well, you know, I had one child and woke up the next day and I had three children when he had twins. Yeah. And he said, we deal with it. It's the same thing. So they're going to have to navigate it. But you know what, Chad? They found a way.
Yeah, they have.
They keep finding ways where they don't have long slides, and the lineup has been – it's been good. It's been producing. So we'll see if they can navigate this. But it's going to be tricky coming down the stretch.
And, yes, I was listening yesterday when you came up with Dolly Parton and scored 1 point in the initials game. So bravo for that.
If I missed that one, I should have been booted off the show. A guy from East Tennessee that couldn't get Dolly Parton should not be taking part.
I'm about to text Corey after this segment. This was rigged, man. You gave Scoggins – DP and Dolly Parton. I mean, stop the steal. What was going on? But yeah, I was listening. That was good stuff. All right.
Thank you, brother,
for your flexibility. We'll talk on Monday, man.
Yeah, later.
Not only is he great at what he does, but he's a great human being. Chip Scoggins, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.